person, place, or time lord will not be hurt at this time, because the Ronnie has sucked all the energy out of our bird, and also our board. In its place, we present the following. Thanks, me. Well, I see a sunrise. I hear a baby. It can only mean one thing.
You got me to wear a diaper again.
Oh, my God.
Every season premiere and every new year, I'm the one who gets to wear the diaper. Is this ageist? Seriously?
In my defense, you volunteered.
That's true. But seriously, though, we are premiering our, can you believe this, 14th season of podcasting. 493 episodes. And thank you to everyone who does listen and does download and has followed us through all the different websites and all the different changes. Thank you so much. And we are starting off season 14 with a bang, and I mean a mega bang. We have got the cast announcement of Survivor 50 because they basically said, F the spoiler sites, we're going to spoil ourselves. We have some actual news. The penultimate two episodes of Jeopardy, Jeopardy Masters. We have a new bracket on Drag Race. And we have some capsule reviews to talk about.
Yes, plus Top Chef moves to Calgary, and we have so many cast reveals. Survivor isn't the only cast reveal that we had this week. We're going to do our damnedest to go over all of them. Because from somewhere in America, the 14th season, here we go again of the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, WLTI, is on. Let's go.
Let's do it. Welcome to the season 14 premiere of The World's Strongest. This is episode 493, 7 to 500. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all around good guy. I'm here with my brother from another mother, Chico Alexander. Gordon is making money for the company and hopefully we'll be back sometime soon. Chico, happy season 14.
Happy season 14 and happy season 14 to everybody out there. Again, we do this show for you. We do this for the love of the game, the love of the game show. We do this for you. We do this because of you. Without you, we are nothing. And our promise to you this season 14 is we're going to give you more of the same. And we're going to start
with
a bit of breaking interest.
Yes, sir!
You thought it was over! You thought we were done! No, sir!
We thought we were done with season 48, but no! And actually, this is such a smart move. This is really a smart move because everyone wanted to know who's going to be on Survivor 50. The leaks pretty much got it right, I will say this much. So we have a massive 24, which I'm guessing there's going to be four tribes to start.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest Survivor season ever. I wonder how many days they're actually going to keep doing this because we have 24 players. Apparently, they're wanting to shoot for a tribal council every day. But no, we have 24 players, and they're all all-stars. They're all competing for $1 million. We have...
I have the list. You have the list. Let's go back and forth, shall we?
Yes, let's do it. First, from Season 1 and Season 8, Jenna Lewis-Doherty.
From Season 2, the Australian Outback All-Stars and Heroes vs. Villains, making his fourth appearance, Colby Donaldson.
Making her fourth appearance from Seasons 10, 11, and 20, Palau, Guatemala, and Heroes vs. Villains, Stephanie LaGrosa Kendrick.
And by the way, Jenna is making her third appearance, just to keep it all on the thing, and thank you to Paramount Press Express for this, making her record-tying fifth appearance from Season 12, Season 6, Panama Exile Island, Micronesia, Fans vs. Favorites, Heroes vs. Villains, and Game Changers, the one of the all-time greats, Suri.
From Season 13, Cook Island, Season 16, Micronesia, Fans vs. Favorites, Season 23, South Pacific, and Season 34, Game Changers, making his fifth appearance on the show, Ozzy Luce.
From Season 18, Tocantins, the Brazilian Highlands, Heroes vs. Villains, and South Pacific, 20 and 23, his fourth appearance, Benjamin Coach Wade.
From Season 32, Kyle Wrong, Brains vs. Brawn vs. Beauty, 34, Game Changers, and 38, The Edge of Extinction, Aubrey Bracco, with her fourth appearance on the show.
Now, every one of these will be making their second appearance. Okay. From Season 35, Heroes vs. Heels vs. Hustlers, Chrissy Hoffbeck.
From Season 37, David vs. Goliath, Christian Hibiki.
From Season 37, David vs. Goliath, Angela Keeley.
Angelina Keeley.
Angelina Keeley, excuse me.
From Season 37, David vs. Goliath, also from The Amazing Race and creator of a little show called The White Lotus, Mike White.
Emmy Award winner Mike White, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct.
Season 38, Edge of Extinction, Rick Devens.
From Season 42, Jonathan Young.
Season 45 winner, Dee Valladares.
From Season 45 as well, Emily Flippin.
From Season 46, Q Burdett.
Also from Season 46, Tiffany Irvin.
Season 46 is Charlie Davis.
From Season 47, Genevieve Mushaluck.
And from last season, Camilla Karthikesu. Sorry, I screwed that up.
The sole survivor of Season 48, Kyle Fraser.
The Season 48 runner-up, Joseph Hunter.
And two players from Season 49 to be named later.
Okay, Chico. What do you see?
I see 18 of the 24 players have competed over the last 10 years.
Recency bias?
Little bit. Actually, if you count Ozzy and Suri, that number, Ozzy, Suri, and Aubrey, that number gets bumped up to 21.
True. Okay. Now, yes, it's a recency bias, but I understand it. You understand?
Yeah, I mean...
Because you... How many... With all due respect, do you want to see Rob Mariano play again?
No. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, nothing against Boston Rob. He is the godfather of this game, but... I have to wonder if he... knows too many people, or if he knows the game inside and out, and well, if he's become too predictable, that's my problem.
Sandra Diaz Twine. Sandra Diaz Twine.
If Sandra Diaz Twine was on this season, I would be the first to know about it because she is a townie.
Okay. Jerry
Manthey's not on this list.
Well, yeah, and she was not happy about it. Like, Carolyn Weiger was not happy, Abby Marie Gomez, Sean Rector. So, he said, he was talking to CBS Morning, he goes, here's what we realized early on, Jeff Probst said. Casting Survivor 50 was kind of like casting the ultimate all-time movie. And you think about all the actors who are alive today that you could put in that movie, but there's only so many roles, and we wanted 50 to be a little taste of everything. Because Gail We've done heroes versus villains, game changers, fan versus favorites, and winners. We wanted to taste every flavor, every type, personality, all the eras. He said, their first list had 200 names, and they went from 200 to 100 to 80 to 50. And then those last 26, there were brutal cuts, and they still are. There's so many people we could have put out there, but there are only so many people you could put on the show. And he goes, well, why did you put on, say, Mike White? He goes, there was never a question. It came from the player side. I mean, do you have to ask? Mike, after he finished playing, he said, I want to play again. And that was before White Lotus. And then White Lotus hit, and I thought, well, he'll never play again. But he kept texting and saying, look, I'm serious. If you ever do anything again when you have returning players, I want to play again. So we're happy to have Mike back. Okay? And it was pointed out that White could use the lure of future cameos as a game move, because if you've seen the White Lotus, there have been some people from that season on the White Lotus.
I have not seen... I'm going to admit to something. I have never watched the White Lotus before. It's always been on the list of shows I need to watch because everybody keeps talking about, yo, man, the White Lotus, this is a really good show. You need to watch it. Why aren't you watching it? I need somebody to watch it with me so I can talk about it. I'm like, yo, man, I don't even have time to breathe sometimes, and you want me to watch
it? Well, now I also have another. I have another question. Prize is only $1 million. Are you surprised at that?
I am surprised because, you know, 25 years when Survivor premiered, $1 million was something. Now it's like every event show on television gives away $1 million. This is the 50th
season. You should have bumped it to five.
Yeah, this is, you know what? Do something with the prize money. Make it, you know, make the prize money worthy of a 25th anniversary season, of a 50th season of Survivor. These are the best of the best going up against the best of the last 10 years. Make it worth my while, CBS. I mean, don't get me wrong. $1 million. I would love $1 million right now. And honestly, the last 5 years of Survivor have been really key. They've been really good seasons. I'm not even gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is gonna, and Survivor 50, I think, is going to be a really good season.
Of course, it's going to be a good season because what they've done is that, remember, I think what they've done by shortening the game and expanding the episodes, they've made the show leaner and slimmer. Okay.
Leaner and meaner. That's what they do.
You know,
they've made it's like they've made every moment count for something. And that's what you have to do with
most of the past, you know, 5 or 6 seasons, yeah, at least maybe more.
Yeah, it's like, and that's what you have to do for a show this big and badass, for a season this big and badass. You have to, you know, milk every bit of drama, every bit of action, every bit of tension for all it's worth. Make everybody fall in love with Survivor again.
Well, I don't think... first of all, I think... Yes, I get that. But I think they need to tweak a little things. I like the fan in the hands of the fans. But what I'm saying to you is that I think they should have upped the prize money, and I think the recency bias is a little imbalanced.
Same
just
here.
Me.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I mean, I'm not saying that I disagree with it. I'm just saying if you would have made it 12 and 12, or maybe 16 and 8,
or
something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you want to take a look at, you know, casting anniversary seasons done right. Look at the Battle of the Eras for the Challenge. They've achieved a really good balance between eras.
Well, Winners at War was a good one too.
Yeah, Winners at War was a really good one. I'm surprised we didn't see anybody from that season on this roster.
Well, I mean, look, Tony Vlahos wasn't even on this one.
Yeah, I mean, this just speaks to, okay.
There's There's so I mean, we can go on for hours about this, but can we get the breaking news symbol? We need one.
From the courtrooms of Los Angeles, we have news about CBS, Sony, and the fight for Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Sony and CBS have spun the wheel one more time this month, and CBS is coming up top trumps, solidifying what a three-judge panel from the Second Appellate District temporarily put in place last month. That same panel has now ruled that CBS will remain the sole distributor of the lucrative Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. This from appeal court judges Gonzalo Martinez, John Siegel, and Natalie Stone. Pending disposition of this appeal, the trial court's order of April 10th, 2025, finding that Sony can begin distributing the shows and need not deliver episodes to CBS, is hereby stayed, including all matters embraced therein or affected thereby by the trial court's order.
In other words, CBS has got the thing until the court is settled. And I actually think that's a good idea. That should have been done in the beginning.
It really, really should have, because it keeps the veil of stability. It keeps the status quo. It keeps everything in place until a decision is ultimately reached.
So basically, it took 2 months for them to say, CBS has it until we deal with this. And eventually they will deal with it, but wow.
And nobody has commented either way about it. CBS has had no comment. Sony has had no comments. And yeah, we're probably gonna hear more about this as the summer goes on.
I mean, because we're now in November. Okay, because we're about June 1st, right?
Yeah.
A couple of days.
Yeah.
November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June. 9 months in already.
9 months in. And we're just getting to this point.
Yeah. So, gonna take a while. But speaking of Jeopardy, hit it.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
We have reached the semifinals, my friends, of Jeopardy Masters.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. In game one of the first semifinal, we have Isaac Hirsch, Yogesh Rao, and our good friend Victoria Gross. At the end of final, Victoria has 16, Yogesh 7-4, Isaac is 6, as 6-6, it's all over but the shouting, but the rule, but the category is 20th century fiction. The clue. Title of this 1959 work refers to a record given to graduating seniors at Ohio State University, OH!
I-O! That is not the right, that is not even the right,
Did you have any clue? Because I didn't.
I've got absolutely nothing. But Yogesh got answer... it, and Victoria got it. It is What is Goodbye Columbus?
So we go into game two of that night. And
with the other three, Roger, Matt, and Javeria, and going into final. Javeria has 9,000. Matt has 8,800. Roger has -400. So he's all but out of
it. He gets the zero.
Zero.
Yeah, it is a staring contest with Javeria at 9,000 and Matt 8,800 with the final Jeopardy category of British history. When New Amsterdam was taken by the British, he was on the throne of England, but the city was renamed for his brother.
I did not know this at all, but it is Charles II. Both of them crossed out James II, but got it right. And Javeria bet to win by $1. So Victoria has 13, Yogesh 9, Javeria 8, and Isaac has 6 because he actually had more wins head to head, and Matt Amodio and Roger Craig each get, I believe, $75,000.
That's a lot of money for a lot of work, and we go right into the semis on Wednesday. Game one featured Javeria, Yogesh, and Victoria, who are three people who have never been in my kitchen. And going into the final, it was Victoria at 19-4, Yogesh at a 10,000, and Javeria at 6,000. Everybody gave no quarter. As we go to the final Jeopardy category, World Capitals. Here's your clue. With the metro area of more than 9 million, this port city founded in 1576 is the world's most populous Portuguese-speaking capital. Pick me!
You knew this?
I knew this.
Okay.
What is Luanda, Angola?
You knew this one. Because I knew the next one.
Yeah,
straight
because,
up.
Okay,
I'll tell you
right now. Sunday night, when we were out quizzing, that was the answer to a question. Luanda, Angola. That was the answer to the question. I nailed it. So, I know my Portuguese-speaking African capitals, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. So Victoria bet to win. She got it. She has three. Yogesh has two for going into second with the smart bet of 2001. Okay.
I have to say to that is, hi, Nora.
Yeah, hi, Nora, indeed. So the first quarterfinal match is Isaac, Yogesh, and Victoria. Ooh, okay. So we swap out Varia for Isaac. Okay. So at the end of final, at the end of triple, it's Yogesh 19-6, Victoria 10-2, Isaac 8. Now, I have a question. Now, I'm going to ask you this as a judge, all right? The final Jeopardy category is medical words.
Uh-huh.
The clue. Charles Richer coined this term for a bad response to an antigen. The NA was a late add to make it better sounding and harder to spell. Now, here's what I said: anaphylactic. Would they have accepted it?
I think they would have accepted it. Because, you know, root words and related words being what they are, I think they would have accepted it.
Because I have very bad anaphylactic reactions to many different things. So,
yep. That's why I can't have a PB&J whenever we're in the same room.
Correct. So, Isaac missed with rosacea. Yogesh missed with what? Okay. And by $2, Victoria gets it right, and she has, so as of the final show, Victoria has 6, Yogesh has 2, Isaac has 0, and Javeria has 0.
At the queen, you best not miss. So
Victoria has one more game, right? Yogesh has one more game. Isaac and Javeria have 2, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be
playing Yogesh one time, and then they're going to be playing Javeria another time. Right. Isaac and Javeria are going to be playing Yogesh once, and then they're going to turn around and play Victoria once. And the three players with the most points go on to the final.
Yes, June 3rd are the semifinals, June 4th are the finals. You're correct. I am sorry. I thought it was a one-day thing. So, even with that, who you got? Well, first of all, who do you think is going to make the semis?
I know Victoria is definitely...
I mean the final, excuse me.
Victoria is definitely
Victoria
in.
Is...
Yogesh is definitely in. Don't sleep
How do we
on...
know he's definitely in? He's only got...
Don't sleep on Javeria. Do not sleep on Javeria.
Well, but look at it this way. If Javeria or Isaac win twice, okay, and the other gets second, well, I don't know if you'll Yogesh can get a maximum of 5, right?
Right.
If Isaac... if he wins, he can get a maximum of 5. Right?
Right.
If either of them win, they can get a maximum of 6, excuse me. Oh, no, sorry. Yogesh can get a maximum of 5. Isaac and Juveria, if they win their games, can get 6. Which means Yogesh could be out.
Wow. So Yogesh, for lack of a better term, Yogesh needs a win. I mean, he just might get it, but he's at a point where he absolutely, positively needs a win.
Yeah, he needs the win in the semis or else he's out. He's either win or done, I would think.
And for Yogesh, it's win or go home.
Right.
So there's that.
And I don't think Victoria needs... She needs to just stay sharp. I think she's a guarantee, right?
She's locked in. No question of doubt about
it. I think she repeats.
I think she repeats. I would love it if she repeats. Victoria, if you're listening, please repeat. I beg of you.
Yeah. But you know what? It will be awesome to watch.
Oh, Definitely awesome.
Yes. Oh, both, and also on regular Jeopardy, we are in Wheel of Champions mode right now.
Yep, our Jeff Barnes, who is a challenger on today's show, facing off against Ann Legata of Morristown, New Jersey, and Thomas Sweeney, the returning champion from Morrow, Ohio, who has 16,401. Jeff locked the Game Boy with 23,000. Category is phrase origins, and your clue is... An 1845 article called Annexation was the first appearance of this two-word phrase implying inevitability.
Should have known this one. It's manifest destiny, you see.
Yes, it is. Manifest destiny, the first appearance in the 1845 article. Jeff only bets 1,000. He ends up with the win. He will come back on Friday to play.
By the way,
again.
If he plays like that over the next 5 games, he'll be dangerous.
He will be dangerous.
He's good.
And the thing of it is, we're coming into June. June has historically been really good for champions. So take a look at this
Indeed.
Guy. Take a look at this guy.
But, yeah, but by the way, look at these queens, though. Oh, pink bracket is now in effect. Who are in the pink bracket, Nico?
We have Jorgeus, Carrie Colby, Lydia B. Collins, Mistress Isabel Brooks, Nicole Paige Brooks, and Tina Burner. And their first challenge opening up the pink bracket action is... The 8 ball.
They need to design an outfit. Yes, it's called 8 ball. They need to design an outfit with all the items inside their 8 ball. The 8 items found on the queen's 8 ball. And it's, of course, 8 ball eleganza. And Lydia B. Collins and Tina Burner were the top 2 queens of the week. They lip sync to a song called Love Sensation by Lolietta Holloway. Okay. And Lydia B. Collins wins and gets the extra point and gets $10,000. We don't know who the bottom 4 are giving their points to.
Yeah, that would be revealed in the next episode.
Four days. Yep. But right now, at this time, Lydia B. Collins has 3, and Gorgeous, Mistress Isabel Brooks, and Tina Burner all have 2. We'll have more later on, and we'll find out where that happens next week.
By the way, the guest judge this week is Suzanne Bartsch, a Swiss events producer known for monthly parties at the Copacabana in the late 1980s, which united the The Hoats and hence, Demi Moore.
Hence 8-Ball.
Now
we're not talking
it.
Pool. And of course, we're not talking pool, are we?
You can't see it, but I'm burying my head in my hands right now.
Yes, we are. But we need to go to Calgary because the semifinals we are.
Forgot I had that, did you?
Yes, I did. Exactly. So,
all right. So we're in Calgary now, and we're saluting the Calgary Stampede with this episode. But the first thing we're gonna do is a quick fire. After arriving at the Olympic Plaza, the chefs have 45 minutes to prepare a pancake breakfast inspired by the Calgary Stampede for the judges and 50 guest diners. Guest judge this week: Top Chef Canada Season 1 and Season 5 contestant Connie D'Souza. By the way, the pancakes needed to be handheld and not require utensils.
Oh, so a pancake bite.
Yes, a pancake bite. And your winner with a cornmeal pancake with scrambled eggs, lap chong, cheddar, and chili crisp avocado aioli, Shuai. Now keep that in mind as we go into our elimination challenge, commemorating the ranchers and First Nations people brought together by the Calgary Stampede. The chefs were responsible for cooking dishes incorporating beef and local berries. They chose their cuts of beef, first come, first serve, randomly assigned their berries by a knife draw. As the winner of the previous elimination challenge, Shuai received an extra 30 minutes of cooking time. And among the diners, we have Connie D'Souza, guest judges Denia Baltzer and Paul Rogowski, Chef John Jackson, and Tsutina Nation Interpretive Program Manager Amber Bigplume. Of course, the winner receives an advantage in the next elimination challenge.
And Massimo's Tenderloin and Elderberries wins over, is the winner. He gets the advantage next week. And Lana has the New York Strip and Hotscot Berry sends them home.
Yep.
So we are down to the final five.
Final five, yes. Bailey, Cesar, Massimo, Shuai, and Tristan. Shuai and Massimo are riding high right now. It seems like they're the favorites. Although Cesar is in a bit of a slump. Cesar needs to...
But again, it doesn't matter. One bad meal can do everything. And we'll find out, and we will also find out where the fine finale is next week.
By the way, it is not in Canada.
No. So I have Celebrity Wheel, as I believe those are the season finales, right?
No, the season finale is next week. Check your date book, my friend.
Alana Glazer is playing for Sister Song, Chelsea Peretti is playing for Anja Momona, and Moshi Kasher is playing for the Surf Rider Foundation. At the end of round one, we have
Alana has 45,500 and the $1 million wedge. Chelsea has 16,000. Moshe has nothing, nada, zero, zip, zilch, big fat goose egg.
Right. So she said, and she's playing for the $1 million wedge. It's a phrase. She picks, it has the she lands on the E in Americas and gets, I thought I knew it. But does she win the million for her charity? $50,000, but her current total is $95,500. Pretty good. Okay.
By the way, the million was in the S in spin.
Okay, so she wasn't even close.
No, not even close.
So Chelsea wins 42-5 in the second game. Alana wins 96-5. I believe Moshe got the minimum, right?
No,
he was not very good.
No, Moshe got 30,900. He just got just north of the minimum.
Okay, there we go. That works. Okay.
And he actually plays the bonus this time. He picks What Are You Wearing over Thing and Phrase, spins out the ampersand, and solves headphones for 75,000, giving him a total of $105,900 for charity.
Oh, nice. Okay. Where did I miss that? I am so sorry. Wow. Okay.
The season's young, Jay. You're going to get it. You're going to get it.
Okay. So then we go to Wednesday night. We had Dulce Sloan, Jessica Capshaw, or Dulce Sloan, who's playing for her friend Tiffany Haddish's She Ready Foundation, Jessica Capshaw for Baby to Baby, and Pete Holmes for Homeboy Industries. At the end of game one,
Pete got 17,000, Dulce got 5,000, but Jessica's your big winner with 34,500.
He missed rubbing my belly for 25K. What Are You Doing? And ironically enough, for Baby to Baby. All right. But in the next one, I believe Jessica missed. She goes to the bonus round with 96,000, 95,750. Both Pete and Dulce get the minimum. Jessica dominated. She missed in What Are You Doing? Decorating a tree when she should have been saying decorating a cake, and she missed the big one, the 100 grand.
But the
charity almost got 100 grand on their own. So, but before we go to the sad news ending the thing, we need to talk AGT. You think we have a winner right now?
Yes, I have written down the name of Howie's golden buzzer. Okay. Oh, you know what? Fine. I'll say it. It's Jordan Blue. Jordan Blue won Howie's golden buzzer.
I have the info on Jordan Blue, if you don't mind. Thank you to MJ's Big Blog. He's 23 from Louisiana. He was on his own and homeless. He has a girlfriend and a baby. And he talks about the car ramming attack on New Year's Day, which happened where he busked. And then he sang the Scripts Break Even, and Howie hits the golden buzzer. By the way, everyone has two, right, I believe?
Everybody has two. In fact, Simon had a golden buzzer earlier that night with Lightwire. It's a blend of art and technology. Simon called it one of the most beautiful stunning acts he's seen across all the Got Talents.
Yes. And I'm just trying to wonder if they've been around. Lightwire. Lightwire. Because we all know they have the whole fender. All of them do in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And then there's among the other acts, we have the Aerialist, Jacqueline and Wagner. I've seen Aerialist done, but not like this. We have Amadou, a.k.a. Elastic Boy. Ew.
We have a bird act, which they left, which is bad. Okay.
Yep. We have Team Recycled, which is a breakdancing performance that Mel B. I think Mel B's is in her villain era right now. I think Mel B's in her villain era because everybody loves all the acts. Mel B is very, very picky about the acts.
Yeah, but of course we'll always have that. But we'll see more talent next week. You think we've got $1 million act?
I don't think we have $1 million act. I just think we have a winner because that's the way it usually ends up.
Right. So unfortunately, we lost a major director in Hollywood by the name of Jeff Margolis. According to Wikipedia, he was a cue card holder for his uncle, some guy named Monty Hall. Let's make a deal.
That's where he got his start. And from there, he had 22 American Music Awards, 8 Oscars, 7 Screen Actors Guild Awards, 3 Emmys, 3 Golden Globe Red Carpet Specials, 3 TV Land Award Shows, 2 Daytime Emmy Award Ceremonies, 2 Academy of Country Music Awards Telecasts, 2 NBC Christmas and Rockefeller Center Specials, Richard Pryor Live in Concert, Frank Sinatra, Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston, Sammy Davis Jr., Ringo Starr, Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, Bette Midler, Quincy Jones, and Cher all had specials directed by him. And it all started, believe it or not, with him directing The Gong Show in 1988.
Wow. Oh, he had a few others.
Yes, he did. He also had Fame in 2003. In Search of the Partridge Family, which gave the world a young lady by the name of Emma Stone.
He also directed the Peter Marshall Variety Show. I'm trying to get the game show references in there. Okay. So, he directed a couple of game show people, but more importantly, he was the nephew of Monty Hall. So,
you could read all about it in his book, We're Live in 5, My Extraordinary Life in Television. It was published in 2020.
A moment of silence, please.
Thank you. Still to come, shows have premiered over the last month that we have not reviewed. Until now. But that comes after all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including 3 shows, 3 favorites of ours, going to parts unknown. We have a show going to Poland, a show going to Spain, and a show going to India. All that is coming up right after this with Jason Block and an in absentia Gordon Pepper. I'm Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, you're home! For We Love to Interrupt, you give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 survivor people who should have not been called back. Richard Hatch?
I want to see that.
Okay, Johnny Fairplay?
I don't want to see that.
Richard Hatch's son?
I don't
nephew, or whatever
see that.
It was?
Russell Hance?
Brandon Hatch, that's right.
Brandon Hance? No, I don't. I definitely don't want to see that.
Sue Hawk?
I don't want to see that.
The guy who basically outed the trans person?
Don't want to see that.
So, on that note, we'll be back. We'll be back right after this. This is 5-1.
One in 4 of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly 2/3 of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us, it's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Brain Vision is presented by the Oxford English Pictionary, the only dictionary with crudely drawn pictures for your convenience. Pick it up today next to the Hungry Hungry Hippos and the Monopoly Cheaters Edition in your local toy aisle.
You know what? That would actually be better than some of the dictionaries. But I has a sad, and we'll get to that in a date book in a minute. But if since... I think we got the message that Gordon isn't coming back, so I get to do the cue. So
you do get
if
to
you
do
would,
the cue.
So let's do it. Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, at Tracks Productions, and at Doug Morris Games. And you can listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt, beaming on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known Dan Larson.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Why is the bat rack flipping you off?
Because I am a hero, and it's a villain.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Okay, so here we go. The show that shouldn't be as successful as it is. Sorry, not sorry. House of Villains is back for season 3. Joel McHale is going to go through with about another dozen misfits. Who are they?
A bunch of misfits, including one that just loves the camera for some reason. You give her an opportunity to get in front of the camera, she will take it and not even blink. But first, let's talk about the villains. They are Paul Abramian from Big Brother, Tyson Apostol from The Challenge and Survivor, Kate Chastain from Below Deck and the Traitors, Jackie Christie from Basketball Wives, Drina DeVonzo from Mob Wives, Plain Jane from RuPaul's Drag Race, Johnny Middlebrooks from Johnny Middlebrooks from Love Island and The Challenge, Ashley Mitchell from The Challenge, Christine Quinn from Selling Sunset, Tom Scandoval from The Traitors and Vanderpump Rules, and a woman who needs no introduction, Tiffany New York Pollard.
Well, okay, as villains go, and I'm looking at this, I actually think this is the best cast they've had so far.
I think
you agree
so.
With that?
I think so, too. It's rather interesting, the kind of people that they get together. I mean, you have a whole lot of egos, and they all clash, and everybody likes to watch the train wreck that results, and Joel McHale, aside from calling balls and strikes, just does the whole, you know.
Yeah, and of course, Paul first of all, Tyson Apostle embraced it. Paul Abramian embraced it. Plain Jane embraced it. If you embrace the villainy, could be fun.
Could be
in its
fun
own,
indeed.
In its own train wreckish sort of way. Okay? So, Gordon sent me a date book, and I really have a sad. Because, well, you know, we talked about this, but as of Friday, Pictionary and Person, Place, or Thing, gone. But I expect them to be on reruns on GSN very, very soon.
I imagine so, because if you remember, Person, Place, or Thing was running on in tandem on GSN for a while.
And by the way, of those two, I am a legit fan of Person, Place, or Thing. I am. Not because I failed as a super fan, because it's actually a decent show. Pictionary, not so much.
Well, it's not a decent show, but Jerry O'Connell is a decent host.
That is correct. And I also will just say that, Person, Place, or Thing, I think should come back some way, but anyway. Sunday is the season premiere of Barbecue Brawl on Food and Max, Food Network and Max. Monday is the season premieres of American Ninja Warrior and The Quiz with Balls.
Balls.
Anyway, Tuesday is, I don't think we have it here, is the semifinals of the, concludes on Jeopardy Masters, the season premiere of Love Island on Peacock, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune with Rachel Harris, Justin Long, and Cameron Brink. And Wednesday are the season finales of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, Bernadette Peters, Renee Goldsberry, and Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and Jeopardy Masters with the season finale on ABC. Now, I have a question for you, and do you think there is possibly a universe where Pat Sajak just comes back to do the celebrity stuff, and Ryan takes over the other stuff, or no?
Well, it all depends on Pat. I see it happening, but at the same time, it's like, does Pat Sajak really want this after all the to-do was made over his farewell tour?
Yes, but what I'm saying to you is that do you think we would, Ryan Seacrest as the celebrity host, I'm not so sure. I think it's a better fit for Pat to come back, but we'll see. I'm guessing they're going to do Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, and remember, Wheel of Fortune, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune returns Fridays this fall to the Alphabet Net.
But let's talk about that app, though, and something that is a very, 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 very dear program to me. If you know this, Mr. Chico, I actually made it to the city finals of the Spelling Bee.
I don't know if you know this, Jason Block, but I too made it to a city final of a Spelling Bee.
Well, good for you. So this is very important. The 100th National Spelling Bee was on ION TV, and I believe it was streamed as well, or will be streamed tomorrow night as we record this.
Yeah.
Tonight as we record.
In fact, yeah. It is streaming right now. We are recording while the B is going on ION. And of course, because it's on ION, we have it on Roku, on Plex, on Pluto, all the major fast carriers, anything that carries ION. Of course, you can look up your local ION affiliate as well. And, hey, guess what? We have a new champion.
Oh, yes. And I saw the word, and oh boy. Okay.
I can't even pronounce this.
I will get there. Okay, actual word. Okay. And this is again from the spellingbee.com. The word is éclaircissement, which means the clearing up of something obscure. By the way, do we know what he actually wins?
Okay, Faison Zaki the 13-year-old from Texas who won the Bee this year. He was actually the runner-up last year, but he won this year. He wins more than $50,000, a medal, a trophy, a reference library, and Spelling Bee immortality.
For all the spellers get Bee souvenirs, a year of subscription to the dictionary, a UNS Mint print set, a one-year subscription to Britannica Online Premium, a one-year subscription to News-O-Matic for the Speller School, very cool, a limited medallion for the 100th, and the quarterfinalists get a commemorative pin and a $100 gift card. The semifinalists get the commemorative medal and a $500 gift card. So the winner, he gets, as you said, $50,000, the medal, the Scripps Cup, a $2,500 cash prize in reference library, as you said, the reference works, including a replica of the 1768 edition, $1,000 in scholastic donations to the school, and a five-year subscription to News-O-Matic. That's kind of cool.
That is.
That's awesome.
That's very smart. And so is Faisal. Faizan Zaki, congratulations, Faizan.
I love Spelling Bee champs, and, you know,
I used to be one,
that's right, Dad.
All I can say is, Faizan, next stop, the Jeopardy Teen Tournament.
Yes.
But for every smart thing, we got one of these.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb.
Now, I have a question. Why are we talking about her specifically? What game shows was she on?
She was on Dancing with the Stars lately.
Now, okay, enough said. Former Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton was arrested on May 17th, driving under the influence of alcohol, controlled substances, or drugs, because, well, it was a Porsche with going all over the roadway, and she was found in her car with a screw-top bottle of wine in her passenger seat, and she had 3 field sobriety tests, which she was impaired. I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
She paid a $1,500 bond to secure her release, and her attorney is not talking.
Well, remember, also, she had that long pneumonia battle, so who knows what's going on with her? So let's just hope she's okay.
I agree. I really hope she gets the help she needs. I really do.
Right. But this? Oh, boy. Haterade! Everyone knows, and by the way, before we say this, we are not trashing the reboot of Double Dare ourselves, because we actually loved it, and we actually know people who worked on it.
Agreed.
Okay,
and, also
and they are very good friends. So, Mark Summers, who, of course, is, you know, legend, okay, was on an episode of Nostalgia Tonight with Joe Sebilia, and he was pushing for a reboot, and he was approached during a meeting the Four Seasons in 2018, the Beverly Hills, and told an influencer had been hired as host of the show. And he goes, what the hell does that mean? Okay. And he did get to chance the host for a single episode when Liza Koshy got sick. He asked to fill in for her, and they showed The Air With Me was the highest rated show on the reboot. They made a major mistake, in my estimation, on putting somebody on who has never hosted a show and with all due respect, pretty much refused to rehearse. He also says these days they just put people on who have no idea how to do these things, and some are okay and some of them aren't. And if you really don't have the passion for it, it generally doesn't work. Well, he ain't wrong.
He's not wrong, but here's the thing. This is where I have to disagree with Mark here. Again, I'm not disrespecting Mark Summers as a legend. I am not disrespecting Mark Summers as a person. I've met the guy. He is amazing. I am a product of his life's work. according to some people.
Yes, right. What?
But everybody who was ever somebody started out as a nobody.
And honestly, you know, it comes off a little bit as bitter party of one, you know? It does. I mean, I get, you know, because we know certain older folk, which we're not going to mention, who can't let the young folk go. You know what I'm saying?
It's like they will complain that the show is a lot better with such and such a thing, and I just want to take them aside and say, shh, let people enjoy things.
Well, okay. Okay, would it have been better with Mark Summers as host? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
But
I'm not saying. I'm saying he's not wrong. Okay? Yeah. That's the problem. It's just, it also just comes off a little bitter.
A little elitist, if you think about it.
Not elitist, bitter.
Well.
Okay.
What man's pie?
Did he have to put in, you know, didn't want to rehearse? That's a little, you know.
And how do we all know this? How do we all know this?
He was the dad joke guy. We understand. Okay. But we're sending Mary Lou and Mark Summers all over the world because we got a lot of places to go.
Oh, so many places. It's the beginning of summer, after all. And what's summer without a vacation, right?
Yep. Been around the world and I can't find my
baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone. We're going to start our summer vacation in India, where we have the Traitors. A new version of The Traitors is coming to Prime Video, and it is the Indian version.
Yeah, let's see if it works. Let's see if it works.
All I know is The Traitors has worked everywhere it was tried, so... Yeah, by the way, you can catch that on Prime Video June 12th, The Traitors India, hosted by Karan Johar.
Mm-hmm.
So... be on the lookout for that. And from there, we're going to go to Spain, where Too Hot to Handle is spinning off a Spanish version. I wonder what Lana's going to sound like in Espanol. I mean, she's going to sound...
I can't. But, I don't know how you say zonk in Polish, but let's make a deal's next international format will be in Poland.
Yep, TTV and TVN are rebooting Let's Make a Deal, locally titled Go For It, or Idź na Kolosz. And if I'm sorry, I am not Polish. I don't speak Polish. It will be later this year when we see that, so can't wait for that.
But we're going to get some more Worldwide Media Pros out of that, definitely.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes. Pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Andrew Rannells, the person who originated the role of Kevin on The Book of Mormon on Broadway, he is the new co-host of the Great American Baking Show with Casey Wilson.
Ooh, okay. Speaking of the Great American Baking Show, Prue was on Celebrity Masters as a category this week.
Oh, sweet. You mean Jeopardy Masters?
Okay. That's correct. Yes. Okay,
you said Celebrity Masters. I was just... Yeah. Anyway,
Jeopardy Masters.
Yeah. We have the season 7 Love Islanders: Ace Green, Austin Shepherd, Belle Walker, Shelley Bisanti, Huda Mustafa out of Raleigh, and before you say anything, no, I don't. Jeremiah Brown, Nicholas Vanstenberga, Olandria Carthen, Taylor Williams, and Yulisa Escobar.
Okay.
We have the cast of King of Drag, hosted by.
Yeah, and you know what? I think you can watch that for free. Yes, I've actually met Murray Hill?
You've met Murray Hill?
I have, and I will tell you how. Many, 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 many years ago, at the Cowgirl Hall of Fame restaurant in New York City, Murray Hill was hosting a drag singing contest on the birthday of Patsy Cline. My father's late partner, Alice, competed, and she sang so good on the track, they thought she was lip-syncing to it. But I actually had a conversation, and Murray Hill, very nice gentleman, and... That was almost 20, 30 years ago now. Yep. Yes.
I'm guessing it drove everyone crazy and Murray Hill fell to pieces.
Yeah. Oh, very good. But I'm actually very interested in the King of Drag show.
Okay.
I want to see what they do.
All right. We also have judges. Sasha Velour, Gottmik, Tenderoni, Wang Newton, Damian Pelliconi, Kylie Sonique Love, Carmen Carrera, Lisa Rinna, that Lisa Rinna, Paul Feig, that Paul Feig, Cola Scola, Laisha Clarendon, Landon Sider.
Cola Scola, by the way, about to be nominated, might win a Tony next week.
Ooh.
For O'Mary, who was also on a Jeopardy category, by the way.
Yep, also a question in OQL this week. Liv Houston, Moby Dick. Brian Michael Smith, Jackie Beat, Aubrey Shea, Kathleen Hanna, Cameron Esposito, and Bridget Everett and Jeff Hiller, the contestants. Alexander the Great, Charles Gallen, Dick Von Dyke, Henlo Bullfrog, King Molasses, King Perka Sex, spelt with three X's and a dollar sign, Pressure K, and Tuna Melt.
Oh, we'll find out what happens this summer. I'm very interested, and I will look that up.
Aaron Andrews hates flying, but loves airports. Tina Burner has been diagnosed with autism. You know what?
Interesting. Love
that for her. Todd and Julie Crisley have been granted a full pardon. Micheline Pitt is developing swag for Epic Universe and suggests avoiding reality TV at all costs. And Chloe Veach has had panic attacks taping Sneaky Links. And Ken Jennings and Drew Carey share a birthday this last week.
Yes, they do. And Drew Carey is 67. Wow.
He doesn't look
and
it.
Ken Jennings. No, he does not. And Ken Jennings is 51. But those are not, well, at least my media pros. You have a couple different ones, but I'm going to give them to the cast of Survivor 50.
Obviously. We already went over it, though.
Yes, we did. But you have some other ones.
So many pros of the week. These are your winners of the Critics' Choice Real TV Awards announced this past week. Best Competition Series, The Traitors. Best Competition Series, Talent Variety, Dancing with the Stars. Best Unstructured Series, Love on the Spectrum. Best Structured Series, A Tie Between No Taste Like Home with Anthony Perowski and Queer Eye. Best Culinary Show, The Great British Baking Show. Best Game Show.
From the Alex Stage at Sony Pictures Studios.
Best Business Show, Shark Tank.
Best Travel Adventure Show, Conan O'Brien Must Go, which I believe opened the new season this past week. Best Animal Nature
Show. Best Animal Nature Show, The Americas.
Best Crime and Justice Show, The Curious Case of Natalia Grace, The Final Chapter.
Best Sports Show, Welcome to Wrexham.
Best Relationship Show, Love on the Spectrum.
Ooh, we have a tie in the Lifestyle Show, Home and Garden. Don't Hate Your House with the Property Brothers and Rock the Block, both on HDTV.
Best Lifestyle Show, Fashion and Beauty, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Best Limited Series, Tucci in Italy.
Best Ensemble Cast in an Unscripted Series, The Traitors.
Best show host, Alan Cumming for the Traitors.
Male Star of the Year, voted by the fans, Steven Nedorashik from Dancing with the Stars.
And the Female Star of the Year, Dr. Sandra Lee of Dr. Pimple Popper Breaking Out. Congratulations to all the winners. And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. I will hit the shutdown button. Wow.
Good, you remember where it was.
That was easy. I give you such a hard time. I give you such a hard time for it. I forgot how easy it was.
It is, but what's also easy is we have a review of three shows, and we will do that right after this. That'll be Act 3 of this episode of WLTI. We'll be back on 5 and 1. We'll see you in a minute. Brain Vision News has been brought to you by Million Dollar Spelling Bee. You think you can handle words like the Scripps National 100th Anniversary Spelling Bee? Well, can you do it for legit prizes like $1 million? See if you can get 15-letter, 16-letter, 17-letter words. And if not, you're buzzed out.
Wouldn't you be wrung out? Because they don't buzz you, they give you the ring of disappointment. They give you the bell of disappointment, if I'm not mistaken.
By the way, I have like PTSD from that little ding. Seriously. That PTSD from that ring. Yeah. Anyway.
It's like, yeah, so, the attractive lady saying, you are correct, or we have the bell of disappointment.
Appointment, yes. Or in the words of Nathan Pyle, disillusion tone. The tone of despair. That's right.
The tone of despair.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. But we have some reviews to start, and you're going to have to guide me through these. So let's do it. Let's start with the biggest premiere with Jeffrey Dean Morgan as host, Destination X.
All right. So here's where we are. We have a... Remember the bus that took us from the hotel to Sony Pictures to tape Jeopardy?
Well, it was more like a little bus, and we got to hang out and talk to people, and we could see LA.
It was sort of like a party bus.
Right. Yeah. It was like a party bus.
Imagine one of those, but it's all sealed up, it's all blocked off, and you're dropped off somewhere in Europe, and you haven't the faintest idea where you are.
Okay.
That is the premise of Destination X, where Jeffrey Dean Morgan guides 12 Americans through Europe, except for one thing. Nobody knows where they are, and it's up to the players to go through all of the clues that are along their journey and pick up just where in the world they are. And in the end of every episode, there's a map room and an elimination. The map room is where each player takes a guess as to their current location. The player who is furthest away from the location is eliminated.
Okay. What's the good and what's the bad here?
Okay, the good is if you are really into the sort of cerebral reality show where you have to think about A, where you are, and B, where you are in the game, this will be up your alley. I thought I was watching this and I'm thinking to myself, this show is this season's claim to fame. It's like claim to fame for the last two seasons it was on. I watched it and it was better than it had any right to be because of the gameplay and the play along. Destination X is the same way.
So, well, how is Jeffrey Dean Morgan as a host?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is basically a sanitized version of his character on The Walking Dead. And I'm here
So he's Negan. And we have both mostly real people here. And the guy Josh Martinez shows that why he did not win Big Brother, because he got eliminated in week one.
He didn't know where the France he was.
Yes. But okay, how were the production values?
Production values are pretty decent. I mean, it's a show that has a lot of basics to it. And the thing of it is, it doesn't try and dress anything up that doesn't need to be dressed. Now, if you are accustomed to watching things that are, you know, bombastic and gaudy and things like The Amazing Race that are so frenetic and fast-paced, you might look at Destination X as something rather boring.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What about the game itself, the actual gameplay?
Well, the actual gameplay, again, it's like, if you remember Claim to Fame, it's kind of like that. It's like, you are given everything you need to solve this puzzle. The real onus is on the players to determine, A, how to use all of those clues to come to the solution, and B, whether or not you want to share that with anybody you are competing against. Because in the end, only one person's going to claim $250,000.
Right. So what's your grade? E minus?
My grade is a B. It's a very decent show. It's done well. The production values are very good. Jeffrey Dean Morgan's very good. Not the best I've seen this past year, but still very good.
Okay. Now, next one is a show that we've seen many times in different places, and you'll talk about it in a minute while I just have to step away. It's the Polish version of Rhythm and Flow.
This is going to be a really quick review because, again, I don't speak Polish, but I am a big fan of the Rhythm and Flow franchise, and it plays out the exact same way as the American version and all the versions we've seen on Netflix. It's only in, you know, Polish, and I never thought that Poland was, you know, the hotbed of rap game. But it's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. And if you're a fan of Rhythm and Flow, I think you're going to be a fan of Rhythm and Flow Poland. I'm also giving this one a B because, again, it caters to an audience. It doesn't pretend to be anything it isn't. And for me, Rhythm and Flow in Poland, a pleasant surprise. So, yeah.
And so what's your grade for this one?
A B. It's a B.
Okay. And finally, the return of one of the most important shows on Food Network in the last few years with a new host, Cutthroat Kitchen, Knives Out.
Yeah, it's basically a pared down version of the original show with a new host. Instead of Alton Brown, we get Brian Malarkey, and I feel like it's Brian Malarkey light. I feel like it's Brian Malarkey light because if you've seen him on The Taste on ABC, of course, Guy's Grocery Games, he was a bit of a wily old codger. Guy Fieri gave him the nickname Shenanigans for a reason. I don't feel like we get that. I mean, he's not boring, but...
Are you saying that he's playing Alton Brown instead of being himself?
I'm saying... That's exactly what I'm saying. He is... Because usually he's loud, he's performative, he's wily. But the thing of it is, he tones it down when he's the host. Now, I
said, you're saying it's too toned down?
It might be a little bit. Well, actually, I think it fits into the timbre of this show, because remember, this show is basically a cook-off, but you have to buy yourself amenities or someone else sabotages.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a show that it's a show that we were begging to see more of when it first aired, and now we've seen more of it, and we see that they didn't mess with the game, except instead of three rounds, it is down to two, and last chef standing walks away with whatever money they have left after buying up everything they need to win.
So are you saying it's a disappointment?
I'm not saying it's a disappointment, and I'm not saying it's a standout. If you're a fan of Cutthroat Kitchen, you'll enjoy this. I was a fan of Cutthroat Kitchen, and I enjoyed it. But don't come in expecting anything more than that.
Oh, grade?
It's a B-.
Okay. All right. And we will cover other shows as they come out. But before we get out of here on the season premiere, we need a speed round. And we will do that right after this here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt.
WLTI is presented by Love Spyland. We have people finding love while committing high espionage, usually in latex masks, decoding secret messages from a controller while hanging on to a tightrope and surviving explosions and mountain climbs, and also riding a submarine from the outside. Tom Cruise hosts One More Time.
Yeah, and if you think that's the end, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you. Well,
okay.
Excuse me. When you back up the money truck, anything is, you know, anything can be retconned.
Well, yeah, hey. What? This is Paramount. What money truck?
Right, exactly. Okay. And we will be back. We will be back next week. But let's end this show, of course, with a speed round. And we're going to do this one now. America's Got Talent. Have we seen our $1 million act yet?
I have said that I've seen the winner, and I'm going to stick with this. I may be wrong, and if I am wrong, I will be the first to admit it. I will take the gee, that crow tastes terrific, and love it.
Okay. Jeopardy Masters. Victorious to lose, right?
Victorious to lose. I mean, come on. We've seen her play. She's very focused. Very, you know, goal-driven. But the only person who can come close is Yogesh, and he plays with a lot of anger. He's not as focused a player as Victoria. It's Victoria.
I don't know if he plays with a lot of anger, but I know he plays with a chip on his shoulder. There's a difference.
That's true. Jeopardy.
But let me ask you that. But hold on. Who is going to be the final three? Who is going to get eliminated? Isaac.
I love Isaac. I really do. But this is as far as he goes.
Okay. Again, we will see. Because let me ask you something. Oh, and also, do you think 9 is better than 6? Yes, I do, actually.
I like this season's format. I hope we see more of it.
Yeah, indeed. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. do we have a favorite yet, or a favorite group yet?
Oh, jeez.
In the pink bracket?
In the pink bracket, I like Lydia B. Collins. I think she's very solid. I'm waiting to see more from the rest of the group, though.
We shall see.
Did we talk about Jeopardy? Because, again...
Yeah, we did. We did, and right now we've got Wheel of... You know... We have Wheel of Champions, but I like the cut of the latest player. I forget his name.
Jeff Barnes.
And I apologize. Greg Barnes?
His name is Jeff Barnes.
Jeff Barnes? Yeah, I think... You know what? He's going to do all right. We'll see.
Okay. Top Chef. Who does not make the trip to... I almost said it.
Who did that trip to there, right?
Uh-huh.
Well... Great. Let's just say... I think Massimo may be in trouble.
Massimo might be in trouble, but then again, just a reminder, this is Top Chef, you are only as good as your last dish.
Exactly. You can go so far, you know. Mm-hmm. But we will definitely find out. Do we have any mail?
We don't have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am Dino R. Alexander.
Gordon Pepper is GSNN Haterade. I am Jason Block with Beat the Block with the number 2.
And of course, the network is at 5-1 Net, where we talk about anything and everything network-wide, including what we have planned in the weeks to come. For example, over the weekend, you're recording the NAWC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we are. We're going to review all the pay-per-views, including Double or Nothing, Battleground, and a couple title changes on NXT, Movers and Shakers. And believe it or not, Money in the Bank is next weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Wow.
After Saturday night's main event, we've got a huge main event tag, too.
Just seems like the year is flying by, isn't it?
We're heading to June next week. BS Big Show will be back in July. For OTA. I mean, OTAs are already starting right now. What's happening with It Was a Thing?
It Was a Thing. We are still on pilot month. We have Good Morning, Miss Bliss, the pilot that became the show that became Saved by the Bell. It is a different beast than any of the shows that spawned it. We also have an episode of the Squared Circle Time Machine with the WWF World Tour 1990, if you remember that. And also a show that attempted to bring the Avengers to America, Escapade, with Granville Van Dusen and Morgan Fairchild.
You know, there's a pilot, I forget, and I saw it, and it was one of the best things the CW ever did, and it was like the spy thriller with the Avengers. I have to find out what it was, but maybe you should cover that during pilot month as well.
Well, pilot month is wrapping up next week. And tomorrow we are going to record that pilot. I'm not going to say what it is, but let's just say I watched it once and thought, what the hell am I watching? I watched it again and thought, why the hell didn't this get picked up?
Right.
So that's all at It Was a Thing on TV.com. Please visit us. And also, please visit ubatoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Gordon Pepper and the crew have a whole lot of stuff going on, and they're busy getting ready for the summer leading up to Battle Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So that is
so
all.
So what's happening next week? So what is happening next week?
Next week, we crown a master to rule all masters in Jeopardy! Masters. we get rid of somebody on Top Chef, we're going to squeeze in some AGT, and we're finally going to get that season in review started with Family Feud and the effect of trading cars for trips. See, you know, if that did anything for the show, as it motors to, gosh, it's 50th anniversary Family Feud.
It's already in it, yeah.
That's absolutely crazy, right? Astonishing. Time flies when you're having fun, I always say. But, and we, speaking of fun, we love having fun, and this is going to be the beginning of a really fun season, I think.
I do. I hope that. And and you know what? I can't wait to see it. Summer's going to get, you know, summer's coming fast. Pico, take us home.
All right, for Jason Block, for an in absentia Gordon Pepper, making money for the company for everybody at 5-1. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Until next time, my friends, game over. And spread the love.
Good night.